Welcome to Brave Church. We're doing well this morning. Today, we are starting a brand new series called You Asked For It. So this is your fault. You asked for it. But we're super excited about this series. This is a series where we simply are just answering the questions that you want answers to. And so super excited about this series. We'll jump in. Today, we're going to be answering the questions all about the topic of prayer. And so if you have a question throughout this entire series, or maybe there's something you'd love to see us maybe teach on, or you have questions about faith, or maybe the whole thing, or maybe it's about life. If it's about kids, I probably can't help you, but I'm still a rookie myself. But so if you have questions that you would love to see answered, simply send us an email to info@wearebrave.church, info@wearebrave.church, and we'll do our best to answer some of the questions that you have about faith. And so today we're talking all about prayer. And here's a couple of common questions about prayer. Maybe some of these you've asked or you've wondered or maybe before. And so here's a couple of questions. We'll put them up on the screen. First of all, why pray? You ever wondered why you're praying really in the first place? I mean, doesn't God kind of do whatever he wants to do anyways? I mean, he's God. That's kind of like his job. And so why do I pray really anyways? Or maybe you've prayed before and you're like, I'm not quite sure if this really makes a difference. What's the point of this whole thing? Or maybe, how do I pray? Maybe that's somebody, if you ever raise your hand if you want to, how do I pray? How do I do this? Do I have to like cross myself? Do I put some circles around my feet? Do I kneel? Do I like stand? Can I just say, hey, dude, I don't know. And, you know, what do I do? What kind of language do I use? This is a very common one, you know, how do I pray? But who do I pray to? You ever wondered this before? Is it the Father? Is it God? Is it the Son? Sometimes if you've been in church long enough, you've heard people say, you know, Father 92 times, and then there's 93 words in the prayer, but it's just like Father, Father, and I don't know, Father, Jesus, God, Father, and so who are we praying to? This is kind of sometimes some interesting questions that people really oftentimes don't maybe have the kind of courage to ask, you know, but they're kind of wondering about. So we're going to be answering these questions throughout today's talk. And I don't know about you, maybe you're like me, but one of your prayers probably, or maybe the first prayers that you said, were probably prayers that maybe somebody taught you, or maybe somebody bought you a book or something, and you kind of like, that's how you learned to pray. Or maybe you were like me, and that was a little weird. I had a Precious Moments Bible. Anybody know Precious? It's kind of weird, I know. And it's just amazing. I turned out okay, but I had a Precious Moments Bible, and it had, you know, a couple prayers for kids or whatever. And so for some of you, maybe you learned to pray prayers based on something somebody told you or somebody taught you or something. And so maybe you grew up and you prayed some of the prayers that sounded like this before, like your day, or before your meal. God is great. God is good. Anybody know this one? Thank you for our food. Yeah, God is great. God is good. Let us thank him for our food. So that was like your prayer. Or maybe you said a really, really creepy prayer before going to bed every night. That's what your mom or dad taught you. You know, now I lay me down to sleep, and then we're not going to finish it because it is really weird after that. And I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I awake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Can you imagine just being like 4 years old having to say that prayer? It's kind of weird, you know. I don't know. Am I going to wake up in the morning? I don't know. It's kind of weird. But for some of us, we learned praying prayers maybe like this, or just praying for safety before a certain trip you took, or you prayed for a victory before a certain game or something. So for a lot of us, this is kind of how we probably started out praying. It's nobody's fault, just kind of the way we learned. And with that, I've learned, and maybe you figured this out too, is that the prayers really centered around you. And for me, I learned that the center of my prayers were me. Like, I was at the center of my prayers. Most of my prayers, and for many years of my life, and still to this day, I find myself praying like this, where I'm kind of the center focus of my prayers. My prayers start off with, a lot of times, help me, especially in this season and stage. Lord, help me with this church, or help me, oh, help me, Jesus, with these kids. You know, if I don't lose my mind, help me, Jesus, now. Help me, help me, help me. Anybody ever prayed the help me prayers? Yeah. And then so some of us prayed the help me prayers, or maybe just the bless me prayers. And this is true too. Many people use this word bless a lot in church, and I didn't know what bless meant, but I just thought, I think it sounds good, so I'm going with bless me. Just bless me. I don't know why, but just throw some water on me. Bless me. Bless me sounds good. So a lot of times we pray the bless me prayers. Or keep me. You know, keep me safe, or just keep providing for me, you know. So this is kind of like the way that I just kind of grew up praying, and just praying about kind of things that I needed or that I wanted. And so maybe you thought this same way, that prayers simply were just that. They were all about getting what you want. Prayers, that's what prayers are, right? Like just about kind of like getting what you want. Like you really want that home, so you pray for that home, or you really want that particular, you know, looking person as a spouse, and so you pray, oh, the Lord said pray specifically, so Lord, I pray blonde hair, you know, green, what color Chris's eyes? Green eyes, you know, and you know, you're just trying to, You know, you're just, you're praying, pray specifically, you know, or you're praying for a job before you walk in. A lot of times you don't have to be a church kind of going person, but you're thought, hey, you know, this doesn't help or it doesn't hurt me, so I'll throw out a prayer and I'll pray that I get this job, because that's what prayer is about. Prayers are about just getting what you want. And so for some of us, this is true. This is kind of how we think about prayer. And this is kind of creates a problem, because for some of us, this is the way we were taught to pray, and this is the way we do pray. But then for even some of us, if we were being honest with one another, we'd say, well, maybe for some of you, you prayed like this, but you didn't get the answers that you wanted, and so you kind of quit praying altogether simply because God didn't do what you thought he ought to do. God didn't do what you thought that he ought to do, and so you begin to wrestle with some of these questions. What's the real point behind this prayer? Because I prayed for that family member to come to faith, but it's been like 5 years and I'm still waiting. I don't really know if that really matters. And so because of that, you decided that maybe to quit praying for that person altogether, because ultimately God's going to do what he wants to do. And so what's the point of prayer? I don't even know if I'm praying the right way. Maybe I should change up the way that I pray. But God didn't do what you thought that he ought to do. And so you thought, well, maybe I should give up on this entirely. Maybe just give up on the whole church thing entirely, because God didn't do what we thought that he ought to do. And so many of us can make really critical decisions in our walk and in our faith with Christ because God didn't do what we thought that he ought to do. He didn't come through. He didn't heal that person. And you're like, man, I've been praying for healing for this particular person, and it's been a couple of years, and that healing still hasn't come. And you've given up on that entire thing altogether. You just already decided that maybe this healing's just not going to come, and that's just the way that it is, because God didn't do what we thought that he ought to do. And so you just quit praying on it altogether. All kinds of things happen simply as a result of this, that God didn't do what we thought that he ought to do. Have you ever asked this question before God? Maybe you've asked God this question. It's probably a good chance we have, whether it be directly or indirectly, you've asked this question. God, why didn't you answer that prayer but not that prayer? Have you ever asked this question before? God, why didn't you answer this prayer, not that prayer? Why in the world? This is a true story. I mean, even for me, oftentimes I'm praying, whether it be for the church or I'm praying for my, you know, faith in Christ to kind of grow or that kind of a thing, and, or I'm praying for my kids or I'm praying for a healing. Carissa sometimes gets migraines, you know, and I'm praying for her to have not have a migraine or something like that. My kid, Samuel, was in the hospital for a couple of days, a couple of months back, and I'm praying for him. You know, like we laid hands on him, we prayed for him. God, would you heal him? But sure enough, you know, just didn't get that healing in that way at that time. And, you know, a couple of days, eventually, you know, he was able to get out and get healthy. But it didn't come when we were hoping it would come. But then for some reason, this is weird, this happens to some of us, we're praying for really serious kind of these things or intense things that are going on in our life. And then you've ever had this happen to you, it's really frustrating. Somebody comes to you, they show up to church or something, like, hey, how you doing? You're kind of like, I'm doing okay, I'm just been kind of praying about some things in my life. Oh, that's cool. Hey, I'm praying too. In fact, the other day, man, it was so awesome. I was driving the parking lot and I was just praying, Lord, give me the front parking space. And sure enough, right at the right time, you know, the car pulls out, I pull in, and you're like, seriously? Like, you know, you're praying for parking spaces, and I'm praying for healing, and you ever been around somebody like that? It just seems like everything they're praying about just gets answered. It's just this amazing connection they have or something. And so for me, you know, I'm like, really, God? I get in those moments. I don't know about you, but I get in those moments where I'm kind of like that, and I'm thinking, really, God? I mean, you know, you're going to help them get parking spaces. You help her find her keys, and yet you can't help me with this job, or you can't help me in this financial situation that I'm in. Has anybody ever been there before? Yes, by applause. Just help me. You've been there. Please tell me you've been there. You're just wondering, like, why in the world? Maybe more serious note, you know, you've been praying to have kids, you know, and for some of us, maybe, you know, certain things are in our bodies or certain things, and we just, maybe for some reason, you just can't have kids, and you're just praying to have one child. We have somebody in our family, you know, that they struggle just having a child, and so you get people like that, and they're praying, and family members are praying just to have a child, and then some people get five children, you know, or six children, or some people get just extra. They don't even want them. They're just like, God, where are these kids coming from? They just keep coming. And, you know, you're wondering, God, couldn't you just do things a little different? I mean, whatever it is, whatever helps you kind of pray that, how are these things all works? Can't you just take some of that, whatever that is, and kind of shift it over this way? I mean, God, you know, it's kind of like this. God, why is it that you answer that prayer, but you don't answer, you know, this prayer, but not that prayer? I don't understand. So kind of help me understand that. So I want to have a challenging question. I think that it's possible, because prayer maybe is a little different than the way we put it. In fact, what if, just to kind of propose a kind of a what if question, what if prayer is not about getting what we want at all? What if prayer is, what if we kind of got this whole thing maybe wrong? What if prayer is not about getting what we want? And I remember the first time I even thought about this, I thought to myself, well, then what in the world am I going to pray for? Like, you know, I mean, how do you pray if you're not praying for the things that you want? Because isn't prayer about getting what you want? But what if prayer isn't about getting what you want? What if prayer is more to it? What if just getting what we want is a really small fraction of what prayer is really all about? And I think it is. I think there's a lot more to prayer than just praying about getting what we want. And today we're going to look at a particular passage in Scripture where Jesus teaches on this topic of prayer. And he's going to teach about to these certain disciples who are following him and they're walking with him. And he's going to teach them that prayer is about more than just getting what it is that you want. And so we're going to be in Luke chapter 11 to start off. But Matthew 6, if you have your Bibles, you can open that up or maybe get your phones out if you want to follow along. Or, of course, we'll put it on the screens. And this passage we're going to look at today, I believe wholeheartedly that we're going to discover that our words, our needs, our goals, our dreams, our hopes, all of those types of things, our aspirations, really are just a small piece of the pie. It's just a small portion of what really prayer is all about. In Luke chapter 11, verse 1, the disciples, these are these Jewish men, just for context. You've got these Jewish men, and they've been praying their whole life. It's a good chance they would have grown up, you know, reading the Torah, reading the scriptures and memorizing scripture. It's a good chance that they would have grown up understanding from their perspective what prayer is all about. All right, so these are the disciples. These are these Jewish men. They've grown up. They're maybe in their 20s, maybe their 30s, and they're kind of watching this whole thing. And they've been following Jesus for a period of time. And they've been watching Jesus do something called pray. And they've been watching about how he prays. And so it's going to spark a conversation. And here's what it says. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. Because Jesus is always praying in a certain place. If you notice in Scripture, Jesus is always at a certain place. And it says he's praying in this place, but then he kind of gets done. And when he's finished, one of his disciples, they turned to him. And they said, Lord, teach us to pray. It's kind of interesting when you think about it because they've been praying their whole life. And they've been kind of following the systems and traditions of what they were taught to pray. And they got the book of prayers they're supposed to pray. And they did all the check marks that they're supposed to do. But then as they watch their kind of leader, they watch this their master, their teacher, Jesus, they're noticing something in his prayer life that is a little different than the way that they pray. Why else would they say, teach us how to do that? I mean, you're over there and you're like talking to the Father. We're kind of watching you and you've got some kind of connection thing. Help us understand why it is you pray that way. Teach us how to pray just as John taught his disciples. Tell us how to pray. Now, there's a couple of Gospels, of course, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. All of these are these recordings about the life and interactions of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And each writer kind of records things a little differently or a little different twists and a little different perspectives, but all, of course, still holding the same truth underneath it all. So Luke writes it this way. There's this interaction with the disciples. Matthew writes at a different kind of time and place where Jesus teaches on this very same topic. He's still teaching the same topic about how to pray. And in fact, Jesus is teaching to a much larger group than just his disciples, although his disciples are there and they're listening in. But he's got a whole crowd before him, and he's going to go ahead and address the questions on the topic of prayer. And here's what it says in Matthew chapter 6, and I think we'll start off with verse 6 or verse 5. Here's what Jesus says about prayer. Jesus says, here goes, big one. And when you pray, that's how Jesus starts off. This is not a question if you should. This is not a question he's saying when you pray. Jesus sets a very clear expectation on his followers that I expect you to be in prayer. So why should I pray? Jesus said so. Jesus just said so. Jesus just said to pray. That's why I pray. I don't know why sometimes they get answered, but Jesus said to pray when you pray. And then he says, but don't be like these hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in their synagogues. That's like their churches. They love praying in their synagogues and on the street corners, and the motive behind that is to be seen by other people. And Jesus is saying, I'm noticing the motives behind your prayers. And I notice their motives. And the motive behind the prayer is what I'm paying attention to. Notice their words aren't, "Lord, help us be seen," necessarily. But whatever their prayers are, I'm noticing what's going on in their hearts behind their prayers. And what's going on behind their hearts is they just simply want to be seen by other people. And then he says, "Truly, I tell you, they received their reward in full." That's really important. They received their reward in full. And if you were to look up this Greek word, it's this idea that they did receive their payment. Their repayment has been received for their prayers. And if you say, "Well, what's the reward?" Here's the reward. If you were to understand this in context, Jesus is saying, here's the reward you get when you pray with this wrong motive to be seen by others. You get this. Great job. That's your reward. They're just applauding you. That was a really big theological word you used. Good job. I'm really proud of you. Awesome. Great. That's the reward. But Jesus says, don't pray like these guys. Instead, he offers up the way that we should pray. Here's what he says. When you pray, it's not a question of if, when you pray, go into your room and close the door. Jesus says, I want you to understand something as it relates to prayer. First teaching of this class, as we're listening in, Jesus is teaching his followers, his disciples are listening in, the crowd is listening in. I'm telling you how to pray, and this is what Jesus says. First instruction, find a private place. Think about it. He says, hey, I want you to go to your room. I just want you to close the door. Now, for us today, maybe it's not necessarily just going to your room. Maybe it's getting away somewhere else. But he says, first, I just want you to focus on going to a private place. Don't try to just go do it in public and public alone. Not praying in public is bad, but don't do it just for public, because when you do it just in public, that just shows me that your motive is to just do it in public. Instead, I want you to make sure that you do this in private. Go and find a private place, because Jesus understands something that we all understand. Absolutely. Any thriving relationship absolutely needs time alone. In your marriage and your relationships and in my relationships, of course, with Chris and my wife, can you imagine what your relationships would be like if every conversation you had was just on the go? Like in our crazy lives, of course, and for all of us in this room, all of us are busy with all different schedules and different tasks and kids and running out. But if Chris and I's only conversations were in our passing and like high-fiving each other on the way in and out the doors, okay, saying, hey, love you, keep moving, keep going, or passing kids off to one another, and those are the only conversations that we had, how great would our intimacy be? Here's what I know about relationships. You can talk to somebody in a relationship. You could talk to somebody in a friendship, but that doesn't mean you're close to that person. You talk to people at work all the time, but that doesn't make you close, does it? No, not at all. You know that, and I know that. The reality is, what makes you close with somebody is typically the people that you do what? You spend private time with. Right, you get up close, you kind of get personal, you hang out, maybe you just go up to dinner, you hang out kind of on the weekends together, whatever. You talk to a lot of people throughout your week. But just because you talk to them doesn't make you close to them. Let me suggest this. Just because you talk to God doesn't make you close to God. It's so true. And for some of us, we got to, maybe Jesus is saying, and I want you to be close to me. I don't want you to just talk to me like these people do. They're talking to me like crazy, but their hearts are far from me. I want you to get kind of close to me. And so to do that, I want you to go to a private place. Because when you go to a private place, it's going to increase our relationship. It's going to increase our intimacy so that we can begin to have this one-on-one kind of conversation from a dad to a son or to a daughter. And this is what Jesus wants. And then he continues on in this teaching as he's talking about how they should pray. When you pray, go into your room and close the door. And pray, and here's what it is, to your Father who's unseen, right? Jesus is suggesting your prayers are offered to me. Now, just leave it here for just a minute. Jesus, in the scriptures of John records it where Jesus makes this statement. He says that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. I am in the Father is in me. So anytime you pray to me, to Jesus, you're also talking to the Father, because we're kind of like one in the same. So you don't have to worry about if you're saying God, the Father, or the Son. It's kind of all one in the same. It doesn't matter. He says, so you're just praying to the Father who's unseen. He says, then your father who sees what is done in secret, because you're praying in private, because I want you to pray in private, will reward you. And you say, is that word reward the same reward as we just learned? And it's not. It's a different reward, and actually is a reward that's yet to come. In fact, it means the reward will be paid in full. It hasn't been paid in full, but it will be paid in full. The reward is going to come. And in fact, the reward is greater than just your wants. The reward is not what you want. In fact, it's greater than what you want, because God knows. He says, I know what you really need. I know what you really want. So he says, hey, the reward is even greater, and the reward is going to come. And Jesus continues on in this teaching, and here's what he says next. Really famous statements, awesome. Here's what he says in verse 7. He says, and when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans do. He's referencing those hypocrites again, the people standing in the street corners. He says, they're just using lots of different words and fancy words, for they think they're going to be heard because of their many words. I know this is true for some of us sometimes. We say, you know, why would I pray? Because I really don't know how to pray, and how long does it have to be, and do I have to be like kind of a special person? Here's what Jesus is teaching in full audience of people. He's not just teaching just believers. He's not just teaching a population of just dedicated, fully followers of Christ. He's teaching in massive amounts of people listening into this teaching. So this is for all people. He says, if you ever want to start praying, just understand, I don't care about the quantity of words you use. I don't care about the quantity of words you use. I don't care about the theology of the words you use. You know, I don't care about how smart you are and how many scripture verses you memorize, you know. Some people are really into that. Just, you got to, I know 97 scripture verses. Good for you. That's amazing. Because you can know 100 scripture verses and your heart be far from God. In fact, the text and all throughout scripture would suggest that the enemy, Satan himself, knows the word of God better than any one of us, and yet his heart is obviously far from God. So just because you know scripture doesn't mean your heart is close to God. God says, no, there's more to it than that. And said, you're not going to be heard because of all the fancy words you use. God says, just come to me, begin to speak to me, and this is how I want you to pray. And he continues to teach them. He said, don't worry about the many words. Sometimes, in fact, the scripture suggests, listen to this. The scripture suggests, if you were to read through it, and I think it's in the book of Psalms, it suggests this idea that God hears our sighs. He hears you when you go. He hears when you're just, and he heard you. He doesn't care about the many words. He hears what's going on inside of you. And then he continues on in this teaching, and he says, don't be like these people. Don't be like them. For your Father, this is a really, really awesome statement, knows what you need before you ask. Jesus says, listen to me. You got this group of people called these Pharisees, these religious people, and he's calling them hypocrites. He's calling them, these are pagans. These are people whose hearts are far from me. And they're saying these prayers, and here's what I've noticed about their prayers. And he's talking to his followers, and he's saying, don't do like they do. All of their prayers center around them. You say, well, how do I know that? Look what Jesus teaches about him. He says, don't be like them, because their prayers are always centered around their needs. So don't be like them. Your Father already knows what you need. So you've been listening to these people pray, and their prayers are always centered around what they want or what they need. But don't be like them, because I already know what you need. And the disciples are probably sitting like some of us in this room. You know, they're going, what are we going to pray about? You know, I mean, help us understand. How do we have a conversation with you if we're really not talking about us? I mean, isn't that the point of prayer, to get what we want? And Jesus is teaching, not at all. Such a small portion of what prayer is really all about. I already know every need that you have. So don't come to me with all of your needs and make that the center focus. And yes, of course, there is scripture that suggests to us that, yes, God wants us to go to with our needs. But God says that is not the central focus of what prayer is really all about just getting what you want. And then Jesus teaches this really famous prayer. It's called the Lord's Prayer. I'm sure some of us have said it, or we've read it in church. And this is what Jesus says. Now, this is a model. Look what he says. Then this is how you should pray. Notice the text does not say, this is what I want you to say. This is not what I want you to say. This is how you should pray. This is a model. This is kind of like a template. This is not what you should say. This is how you should pray. That rhymed. It was really good. I'm proud of myself for that one. That was on the cuff, too. That wasn't even planned for. All right. So this is how you should pray, not what you should say. And some people, think about it, some people, they say this prayer. And because they talk to God, they think they're close to God. But we just learned that you can talk to God and be far from God. In fact, according to God, you could talk to God for hours and just keep babbling and babbling. In fact, it makes me really think about how the fathers, so some kind of, there's this like how we represent who he is and how kind of we're made in his image. How you ever been around somebody and they're just talking, blah, 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 and they're just babbling? Anybody been around a babbler before? And you're like, if you could just bail me out of this conversation, somebody come by, hit me with a car, I don't care. Just get me out of this conversation, you know. This person just keeps babbling on and on and on and on. And I wonder sometimes if God's that way. You're just babbling. And I'm God, and I'm a little tired of your babbling. So don't keep babbling on like these people. Just because you say the prayer doesn't make you close to me. There's more to it than that. And so this is what I want you to say. The disciples are taking notice because they've been praying this way. They've been praying this way. And now Jesus is making it a point to saying, okay, I know you've been praying this way, but let me teach you how to do this. Start off with this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. This isn't about what you should say. This is about how you should pray. He simply says, I want you to understand this concept, and we'll read through this whole thing together. He says, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done, your will be done. Just remember that in a second. Your will be done, your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven, give. Everybody say give. Yes. He says give. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And you go, whoa, 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 whoa. What about the, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Amen. That's actually never recorded in the original manuscripts. This is actually how it ended. They just decided that it sounds a little bit better because it just kind of sounds kind of weird. And deliver us from evil. Can we just throw in a little extra there? Sure. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Okay, that sounds a little more comfortable. Okay, let's go with that. But now in the newer translations, you're seeing that taken out again, and you're seeing this kind of just ended the way it was originally designed to end. Because the focus of the prayer is not about what you say, it's about how to pray. And so Jesus suggests to you, and he suggests to me, whenever it is that you're praying, here's what I want you to pay attention to, here's what I want you to focus on. The first one is simply, I want you to recognize who I am. Notice the prayer said what? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What does that mean? God, I'm starting off my prayer with recognizing who it is that I'm talking to. Here's how that may sound. God, you're in heaven, and you're in control of all things. You put the sun in its place. You put the stars in their place. You put this universe into motion. You cause all things to be as they are. He says, when you come to prayer first, get the right perspective of who it is you're talking to. And when you do that, you're going to notice something. All of a sudden, the thing that you were worried about and the things that you want start to take a back seat because you start to realize who it is you're talking to and what it is he's capable of doing. And all of the problems all of a sudden that you're coming to prayers with start to seem a little smaller. All the things that you thought you wanted begin to realize, I don't really know if I even want that because whoa, 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 I'm talking to the God of the universe. Why would I even begin to think that I know what I want? In fact, for some of you, you prayed for something you thought you wanted in high school and then you looked that person up on Facebook and you're going, I'm so glad you didn't answer that prayer because I thought I wanted that girl or that guy and I'm so glad because did you see their where they're at today? Still working at the same place. They're still doing the same, you know, right? You're so glad that God didn't answer some of your prayers. And so God is saying, whenever you begin to pray to me, I want you to begin to recognize who it is you're talking to. Because when you begin to recognize who it is you're talking to, all of a sudden you're going to realize you really don't know what you want. And you really don't know what you need. So God says, get the right perspective. and recognize who it is you're talking to. And then he said, not my will, right? Not my will, but your will be done. Second thing Jesus teaches, he says, surrender your will. After you take some time to recognize who it is that you're talking to, I want you to kind of go into this kind of idea of surrendering your plans. Might sound like this. God, you're in heaven. I know who you are, creator of all the things. You're an amazing God. You're in control of all things, recognizing who he is. And God, before I make my request, because that's a small portion to this prayer, I just first want you to know I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do. I trust you more than I trust me. According to Scripture, according to your word, my heart is deceitful. And this time I looked in the mirror, I know I'm a little messed up, and I can be a little greedy sometimes, and I can be a little weird sometimes, so I really want to try to trust me. God, I'm surrendering my plans all over to you. It's whatever you want for me. So before I ask for this job, no, it's not I'm asking for the job, and then I'm just saying, God, give it to me. No, I'm not doing that. God, I'm saying, God, it's your will be done, and you want me to have this job, you're going to give it to me in the name of Christ, because it's your will be done, not my will be done. Jesus says, I want you to surrender your will. Surrender your plans. Surrender your hopes and your dreams. And for some of us, that's a little tough. Because we're thinking, I thought that prayer was about this place that I go and deliver him my wants. And now you're telling me that it's really not about what I want. Instead, it's about what he wants for me. And Jesus is like, yeah, surrender your will. And then I'm going to do something greater in your life than you could ever possibly imagine. But first, you have to surrender your will to me. And the third thing, he said this word, give, right? Give us this day our daily bread. Remember this word, give? And then he says, you know, forgive us of our debts and we forgive our debtors. You know, lead us not temptation, but deliver us from evil. It's this idea of acknowledging your dependency. Acknowledging your dependency. When you begin to pray to me this way, God, I know who you are. You're the creator of all things. And Lord, I want your will to be done, not my will to be done. Let your plan succeed, not my plan succeed. God, if you want me to have this job, let it be done so. God, whatever you want, let your will be done. God, I get to come to you asking you absolutely 100% for your will to be done. And I acknowledge absolutely one thing, that I can have nothing without you. Everything I have is from you, and it's for you, and it's by you. And I acknowledging that there is not a thing I can do on this planet without you. Acknowledging your dependency. And God says, when you begin to kind of pray to me this way, when you begin to talk to me this way, this is how I want you to begin to pray to me and begin to understand what it is that I'm trying to do and want to do in your life. Why would Jesus, think about it, a couple thoughts, why would Jesus tell his disciples and tell his followers, this is how I want you to pray? Because Jesus knows what we know as we kind of learn this today from him. He knows. And when you pray this way, when you begin your prayers recognizing who he is, surrendering your will, acknowledging your dependency, God gets way more than your requests and your wants and your needs. He gets your hearts. God is more after your heart than he is trying to satisfy every single want you have. Because the truth is, you really don't know what you want. You really don't know what you want because you got that one thing. And you thought that's what would satisfy you, and it didn't. You thought going into that relationship would fulfill that void, but you still have that void. You really don't know what it is that you want, but God does. And so when you come to me this way in prayer, you're going to get more than what you thought you wanted. You're going to get what I wanted for you. And that's way better than what you think you want. If you're taking notes, last thought here. When it comes to prayer, here's a really easy thing to practice before you pray to kind of put your mind around this. Rather, maybe just memorizing these three things if you can, that's great. But a real simple statement you can simply say is, God, you first, then me. When you approach prayer, God, you first, then me. God, you first, then me. If you become to take this approach as you begin to pray, God, whoa, before I go in to make my list known, before I have all of these things and I'm praying for my kid who is sick, God, first, I'm going to come to recognize who you are and who it is that I'm talking to. And I'm going to surrender whatever it is that I need to surrender off my plate. And then, God, along with that, I'm going to acknowledge my dependency on you as a parent over this child. I'm going to acknowledge that you're the great physician. You're the great healer. You're the great doctor. You're the one who controls all things. And whatever it is that you want to be laid out, let it be done so. And Lord, all of that said, here's my request. When you do that, God says, I get your heart. So just remember this statement. God, you first, then me. God, before I start praying for somebody, I'm asking you first, who should I be praying for? God, who is it that you want me to be praying for? What is it that you want me to be praying about? What is it that you want me to be seeking about? Because God, it's really you first, then it's me. Because God, I want to glorify you. So God, it's you first, then me. I'll wrap up with this story I once heard. And it's about a pastor who was preaching a message, and this man had just got baptized. It's a true story. And this man gets baptized. His life had been changing. And he comes up to the pastor after a service, and he says to him, he goes, hey, I know that you're talking about praying, but to be honest with you, I just don't have the time. I mean, I'm really busy. I work, you know, in advertising in the marketplace, and I'm just a really busy person. I'm on the go all the time, and so I just don't have the time to do what it is you're talking about. It just seems kind of hard. And the pastor, kind of a little younger, just says, you know, I totally hear that. I totally understand that, but I just want you to know I've never met a person that's not busy, and for me personally, I just find that I give time to the things that I value. I just find that I just give time to the things that I value. And he wasn't trying to punch anyone in the face or something. He just thought, you know, this is just what I value. And so because I value this prayer thing so much, I just find time to do it. I'm just as busy as anybody else is. And but I understand, you know, and so it's just what I value. And you always find time for what you value. And with that, you know, of course, the guy walked away, and the pastor thought, that guy's probably never coming back again. But he did. He came back a couple months later, and he returns and he approaches this pastor and he says, hey, just so you know, I kind of remember what you said to me and I just want you to know a couple of things. And the pastor kind of noticed there was something different about his countenance. There was something a little different about the way he looked and kind of the way he presented himself on that particular day. And he says, I just want you to know that after our conversation, every day I've been going over to my back porch. I have this really nice back porch and I bought this chair, this kind of rocking chair it was, but he says, and every day, since we had this conversation, I've sat down and I begin to rock in this chair, and I begin to grab my Bible, and I grab my journal and a pen, and every day for the past couple of months, I've been simply doing this kind of routine. And as I've done this, I've just learned that God begins to speak to me. And so every day, excuse me on my microphone, so every day, he goes through this, and he would sit in this chair, and he'd grab his journal and his pen, and he would begin to kind of pray to God and say, God, you know, what is it that you want to do in my life? And for months, he spent time in this chair. And so the pastor says, well, how's that working for you? Like, how's that going? And he said, his wife jumps in the conversation and goes, it's going phenomenal. Everything about this man has changed. His character has changed. The way he talks to me has changed. When he comes home, his mood from work has changed. You know, everything has changed for him ever since he's been sitting in this chair every morning. And so he said, well, how'd you do it? He said, well, I just started getting up, you know, about 20 minutes earlier every day, and I just began to grab my Bible and just said, God, whatever it is you want to do, whatever you want to show me today, just help me be more aware of your presence in my life. And so he had this practice for a period of time. After a few months, he comes back to the pastor and he says, hey, I've been sitting in my chair still. I'm doing that practice, and I feel like God's really been telling me that soon enough I'm going to be out of my job. I'm going to leave advertising, and I'm going to come help you start this church. And this pastor's like, just so you know, no one's getting paid here. Like, you know, that just so you know. And he said, that's okay. I've done pretty well. I've got enough money in reserves that I'm able to make it, and then we'll just let God do whatever God does. But I think I'm supposed to leave my job and come help plant this church and help market it and help advertising any way that I can. And so he says, well, you go pray about that because I don't want you to make the wrong decision. So he goes back, goes to the rocking chair, does some more prayer, comes back, says, that's it. And he ends up quitting his job and going on staff for zero salary and just following what God's leading him to do. Ends up, of course, coming on staff a couple of months later, and then time goes by. He's been on staff for a couple of years. And then eventually he goes back up to that pastor who is now his boss, and he says, hey, just so you know, every morning I've been sitting in that chair and I'm still doing it. And I feel like God's really stirring something in me lately that I'm going to be moving to Colorado and helping somebody else start a church. And they could really use some help down there. And so I spend some time and I know that God is calling me to do this. And so he packs up his family and they move out of state. They move to Colorado to help another church get started. And he had done financially well for himself, so he was able to really pour in some financial kind of support and help to this particular organization, this particular church. That church is still thriving and living today. And so he kind of does that for a little while. And then some time passes by, and eventually this particular man gets sick, and he gets cancer. And he's in the hospital at one point, and he's talking to his wife, and he says, you know, one of the things that I feel kind of like most lost about is the fact that I don't have my chair with me. There were so many great decisions that I made in that chair and what God talked to me, and he ended up dying. Just a few days later, he got a fast, rapid growing cancer, and he ended up dying. So the pastor and the original guy who kind of talked to him initially flew down from his church out of state and came down and did the funeral and was in conversations with his widow and, you know, of course, his wife, and comes to him and says, you know, what an amazing thing happened in that chair, wasn't it? Some crazy things that happened. And they had the chair there, and she said, no doubt about it, his entire life changed because of what happened in that rocking chair on that back porch every day. And now we're going to take that chair, and we're going to pass it down to our grandkids and hopefully to the next generations to come, that their lives will be transformed just like Tom's would. And they just kind of, you know, really thought about all the things that had happened in this man's life simply because he had taken just 20 minutes a day and just had a meeting with God. So my question for you is simple. Where's your chair? Where's your chair? Where's your meeting place with God? Where you just go and you say, God, I'm going to pray and spend some time and talk with you. Private place, you and me. Not in the busyness and the chaos of life, although you invite me to talk to you even in those moments, but where's my private place? Where's my chair? Where's your chair at? Where's that private meeting spot with God where you go and you say, God, I'm here. I'm ready to receive whatever it is that you want for me. Show me. Teach me. Help me understand. Help me to be more aware of your presence. Today, church, I want to encourage you to find a chair. If you don't have one, find a chair. I know some guys and some people, they work in construction, and they spend the first 5 minutes before they get out of their truck, a cup of coffee in a hand and a Bible, and they just take that 5 or 10 minutes and they do that. Every day, just before they get out of the truck and they walk into work, that's their chair maybe. Where's your chair? Where's your moment with God where you say, God, whatever it is that you want to do in my life, I'm acknowledging who you are. My dependency is all on you. God, show me, talk to me in my life. I believe wholeheartedly as a church, if we did this together, each of us doing this together on our own, there's no limit to what God could do through our church and at Brave. But we have to be faithful to do that as well. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to wrap up with this thought. Here's what we're going to do. On your way out today, we've created a 45-day Bible reading plan for the kind of throughout the summer. 45 days, and I want to do it with you. So I'm telling you, you're not doing it alone. I'll do it too. I'm doing it with you. And we're going to read through all the Gospels together as a church. And you can just know when you're finding your prayer time, whatever it's your closet, maybe it is your closet, and you just need to tell your spouse, I am going to the closet. You're on charge. I'm going away. That's what we do in our home. We do it sometimes, you know. And Carissa does it. You know, she gets away. She says, hey, I need my time. I need my space. It's one of our family core values. And for me, I do. I'm kind of the littler guy, and I take this whole thing to, and I go to my closet, and I shut the doors, and I lock them, and you know, I'm in there. And so you got to find maybe that place for you as a couple. Whatever it is, though, just want you to know you're not going to be doing it alone. You're going to be doing it with a whole bunch of people in this thing together. And I just want to encourage you to find your chair, find your place, find that private place. Take the reading plan that we have for you. It's all through the Gospels. By the end of the 45 days, you would have read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John if you stay to it. But here's my encouragement. If you get kind of lost, the reality is days happen, days slip away, you forgot to do it, something happens, just keep going. Don't get bogged down. Don't get beat up. Don't beat yourself up. Okay, I'm going to pick it back up. I'm going to read the next day. But do it privately. Grab a pen. Grab a phone. Grab a computer. Grab a laptop. And pray this way. God, I recognize who you are. I'm surrendering my will to you. Whatever you want to do in my life, show me. I'm acknowledging my dependency on you. I'm ready to be more aware of your presence. And take a pen. Take a journal. Take something else that maybe you could write down the things that maybe God is talking and teaching to you. If we do this, church, can you imagine? Just imagine. What God would do through us. If all 100 plus of us in this room decided to pursue God individually and pray the way he taught us to pray. I, th- think we'd see a lot of breakthrough, not only in our lives, but in our church, in our city as well. Amen. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you so much for today. We thank you for teaching us to pray. And prayer is not about what we want. It's such a small portion. God, first, it's about you. It's about you first. It's about what you want in our lives. And we trust you and we acknowledge who you are, the Almighty God, the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, the Savior of the world. There's no greater God than you. God, we want to submit and surrender every plan, every desire, our goals, our hopes. We surrender all of that to you because we know you have a way better life planned out for us than we could ever imagine. So God, we surrender our plans to you. And God, we acknowledge our dependency. We acknowledge that we can't do a thing without you. We don't have breath without your blessing. We don't have life without you saying, have life. God, everything we have is from you. So God, we give you our lives, we give you our bodies, we give you our fullness, whatever it is you want to do in our life. And I pray that as we seek you and pursue you these next 45 days, we open our hearts, we open our words, God, that you would make us more aware of your presence in our lives. Teach us the things that you want to teach us and show us the things that you want to show us. In your name we pray. Amen.